Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. Today's episode is all about Senzar, a game that once graced the bottom 10 lists of RPG bottom 10 list makers far and wide, though that was a simpler time, before people realized just how racist and abusive a game can actually get. Here we find a silly middle ground. Vast, fecund fields of weird, pointless shit, but not too much to get mad about or even really to stick in your head. Senzar. It's a game, I guess, on System Master. Welcome back to System Mastery. You know what this podcast is. This is like the 176th episode or something.
Yeah, we've done a lot.
We've done so many of these. I have no idea what specific number this is. That sounded wrong. I think it might actually be 177. But before I get any further into trying to look up my own episodes, let me just say I'm Jeff, and that other voice you just heard was John. And hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up. I was talking to you there. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm so good.
Well, that's fantastic. I accidentally left my phone in my car today, and you know, it's not a hot day in San Diego. It's like probably 68 out, but it must have been sitting in like the exact convection point from the windows of my car.
It's not a hot day, but my phone is made of chocolate.
That seems to be what happened. Yeah, because the damn thing was like burning hot to the touch and had shut down due to heat.
Nice.
The rest of my car wasn't even hot. Maybe some asshole kid came by with a magnifying glass and tried to torch an ant on my phone or something.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
That's probably some scamp. Some like 1981 scamp with a magnifying glass and a slingshot in his back pocket and a toad in a shoebox.
Yes, past you showed up and decided to burn your phone.
Take that, old me. You got fat.
Sucks to you, old me.
And I'm like, screw you, tiny me. At least I'm getting laid. So, anyway, today's episode's going to be about Senzar, which I mentioned it in the intro, but if you look up the, like, worst RPGs of all time as a list, which obviously, as people who make podcasts about bad RPGs, I'm sure both of us have done on a number of occasions.
Oh, yeah.
Senzar is often on the list, and usually it has a disclaimer that's like, hey, this game is incoherent and stupid, but we found worse since writing this list in the first place.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I was expecting a lot more out of this, given how much press Senzar gets for being bad.
Mm-hmm.
But going through it, I was like, oh, this is, I mean, it's kind of very poorly thought out, but it's not the worst.
Yeah, I have seen worse games that aren't even on these lists at all and have never been heard of by anybody. There are, of course, a few games on those lists that are heinous that we don't even want to touch.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always something that's just truly abhorrent that you're like, I don't even want to read this, let alone let people know it exists.
Like, we already made the Fatal mistake in Red Fatal, which was just trash from start to finish. This is racist and sexist. But there are games that are either of those things taken to logical extremes as well, like Rahawa, for example. We're just never going to do it. That's short for Racial Holy War. Fuck that game.
Yeah.
Or that one by that murderer guy. I think he burned down a church or something. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. None of those.
Vargvikernes or whatever. Fuck that game. No. Quit recommending it to us, too.
Ah.
So, instead, we're going to be covering Senzar today, which is an early 90s kind of... Honestly, I feel like we've reviewed games like this before, but we're kind of hitting a point in our podcasting career where it's hard to find a game where that's not the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, at this point, reading through Senzar, I was like, oh, it's like if Cinnabar was slightly less insane and...
But only very slightly.
Only slightly. I mean, yeah. It's mostly in terms of the actual, like, timeline and what went on. I'm like, this is much less stupid than Cinnabar, but God, that's a high bar to reach. But it feels thematically very similar to it.
Well, it's got some similarities to Cinnabar. It actually, not just the name, but also it's one of those created battle worlds that is populated by the most powerful aliens from all across the multiverse. It's got a 40,000-year history that it goes into great detail over, even though none of it fucking matters.
Oh, yeah. It's weird to me that this game says, like, oh, you could play in any of the 8 ages of this world, or in the prehistory of it, and, like, the actual full-on races and professions and everything that this book has for you to choose from didn't exist until at least, like, the 6th age or something? So,
that is incorrect, yeah.
Like, most of it, you're like, oh yeah, did you want to play the prehistory Senzar? You have to be a fairy and probably just sort of one of a couple casters, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It is, again, it is also similar to other games that do this kind of battle world philosophy in that there are like 26 playable races, and there are so many of them, and a lot of them are so similar that they start to blend together and get forgettable.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in other games where they can't quite think of a bunch of ways to make interesting humanoids. And so in this game, almost the default race of the game is glorious, bronze-skinned, oily, naked muscle angels.
I mean, there are several of those.
Mm-hmm. In good guy and bad guy variations.
Yeah, it's real weird to me, speaking of the good guy, bad guy variations, that this game goes real deep in the paint to be like, here's a ton of evil options for things. Like, we didn't just decide, oh, maybe if you want to be like, I'm a redeemed version of a bad guy. No, there's things in here that's like, here's a ton of different always evil species. Here's some professions that you have to be evil to be. It's very strange that they were like, yeah, sure, this is a thing we want you to do.
Right, and similar to the fact that there are 26 or so playable species, there are like 38 playable careers, which mostly is because it's basically like there's an assassin, a magic assassin, and a sword of magic assassin. There's a fighter, a magic fighter, and a sword of magic fighter. Over and over again, down the line of basically you have a list of fighty types and a list of magic-y types, and then the Venn diagrams that exist between each one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, you can be like, oh, I'm an enchanter. All right. Well, now I'm an assassin enchanter. All right. Great.
Mm-hmm. And again, in a kind of a similar thing to games like this we've seen before, the writers kind of have a singular purpose to them, like they don't really look back. And in this game, that takes the form, when you're looking at the descriptions of the races and the classes, which is, I guess, where we're starting, of digressions that never end.
Yeah, the voice in this is very much like, there's a point where you realize that, I mean, very early, it's sort of chummy and talking to the reader, very like, hey there, you gotta come over here and it's time to roll the dice. But then
Right. It'll
also just decide it needs to tell you about something for no reason.
Well, the one that struck me and that I thought was the most interesting to talk about was the Enchanter. And I remembered it because you mentioned that class at all. Enchanter basically is like consumed with illusion magic and magic of trickery and deceit, right? So it's pretty simple. And it wouldn't be all that hard to write a basic description of that. It's like, oh, these guys are a little shifty, and they like to make stuff up, and they're entertainers, and they fool people. Instead, what happens is the description of them gets caught up in describing how they like to pretend to be a class of, like, bard mages, and how much everyone hates it when they do that.
Yeah, it was like, oh, well, because enchanters usually, like, also know a lot of sleight of hand and either stage magic or performance abilities and things like that, they'll try to pass off their ability with magic and whatnot that they're a spell singer, because everyone hates enchanters because they know it's all about, you know, illusions and deceit. But spell singers, everyone's like, oh, that guy's great. He sings songs and magic stuff happens. So they just decide, yeah, I'm going to be that.
Right. So there's an essay about of description about each one of these races, each one or species, or God damn it, classes. Excuse me. Each one of them gets basically five paragraphs in one page, right? So on the Enchanter description, the first paragraph is like, hey, these guys are illusionists. And then the next four are all like, these guys constantly are pretending to be spell singers. And then they get convinced to stop it because no one likes it when they do that. And you're like, what the fuck is that? This is way off topic. And even though this book has like five writers, it feels like they didn't have a whole lot of editing passes.
Oh, it really doesn't have a lot of editing passes. I mean, one of the first things when trying to figure out the rules of this game is it very quickly becomes apparent that they decided to put certain things in certain parts of the book and never repeat it or tell you where it is in the rest of the book.
And when we say certain sorts of rules and things, we mean stuff like the basic rolling mechanic to determine whether or not you succeed in the game. The basic mechanic for how combat operates in this game, like what die you roll and what you add and subtract to that die, is on page 312 of this book, and that is the only place it appears.
Yeah, there's, when making your character, it's like, oh, here's how you, it's a point by system, and they're like, alright, here's how you determine how many points you get, here's the costs for improving various stats and things like that, and one of the things you have is a power stat, which gives mm-hmm. you power points. It does not tell you how to generate power points at all in character creation. And then you get to the professions, and it's like, hey, if you're a semi-pro caster, you'll have half as many power points. And again, you're just like, I don't know what that is, or
yeah.
I have.
And then, 400 pages later, they define it once.
Yeah, there is a small table in the magics section where it says, like, oh, here's the progression for what your power stat is and what level you are. This is how many power points you'll have. And that's it. Like, one little tiny thing. And it's not like casters are even the only ones that use that. Like, martial artists in this game use ki power. And it's the exact mm-hmm. same thing. You just use power points, but they call it ki. But if you're making, you know, a martial artist or one of the non, like, magic-focused characters, you probably mm-hmm. weren't going through the magics section with a fine-toothed comb. And if you didn't, then you would never find the one little chart that says, here it is, this is power points.
Right, yeah, it gets very confusing and difficult. It's basically just, like, a lot of excess. And I was tempted originally to say glorious excess, but here's the thing. I've been reading this book for the past 5 days. I can remember, like, four things.
Yeah, it doesn't go over the top enough for me to be like, oh, man, this is, like, Cinnabar or even Rifts-level goofy. It's just kind of like, yep, there sure is a lot of stuff in here.
You guys sure did like the X-Men.
You guys,
can tell
you guys
that
really
sure.
did want an oiled-up angel dude, so I guess you put that in there.
I mean, the things I remember from the species selection grid are like, okay, a lot of the species that you can choose from, for some reason, even the ones that are noble and good guys, really have strong slavery cultures.
Yeah, I mean,
like from the very first
that,
one.
Yeah, you'd go through something like the Akir, and they're half-human, half-giants that are essentially just very big Vikings. Like, that's their whole thing.
They're basically Jotun. So, and that's what you got.
You know, you start going through them, and you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. These guys are just, they live in cold, they're big, they have pointy hats and longboats. Yeah, sure, I get it. And then eventually, like, five paragraphs in, they're like, boy, do they love slaves. In fact, there's a specific race that they love to take slaves from. And you're like, what?
Yeah, and otherwise they're like, oh, this is an honorable warrior culture and so on. And then you realize as you're making your way down the list of species in the game, a lot of them are about slaves.
Yeah, and there's some that are very specifically, these are evil. Like, some of them are Actually, I think most of the evil ones are like, what is this? Oh, these are just genetically created bad guy species.
Well, yeah. Well, when we get into the cosmology of Senzar, we can explain why there are so many genetically disposed towards evil type things.
But,
your,
man.
Your Demonians and your Mokars.
There is the goblins in this game. I want to take just a quick second to talk about.
Sure. They're one of the rare things in this game that has the name that makes sense to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything else, not so much. There are a few. There's like gargoyle, goblin.
Human. But, you know, dwarves are called like Kazaks, and elves are called like, what is it? Staniers?
Yeah. Starin. That's it.
Starin. So I got those letters replaced. Yeah. But anyway, you were going to talk about goblins?
So goblins. They start out when they're talking about them as like, oh, these guys are the scapegoats in Senzar. You know, when something goes bad, people just blame goblins. And when it mm-hmm. first starts, there's a very big, like, I want to say Roma influence to it. They're like, oh, you know, if someone's crops go bad or somebody loses a kid or something, they'll blame goblins. They're a nomadic people, and everyone says, you know, that they're thieves and they're horrible people and they're vilified all over the place. Anyway, that's all true, and they're stinky. And you're like, what?
Yeah. I mean, the first paragraph is setting you up for a kind of reversal, right? Where it's like, hey, these guys are unfairly, they're maligned. They're not all these things that they're said about them. And then the second paragraph is like, no, they're worse than that. They also smell bad, and there are flies around them all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, the first sentence is not that goblins are always innocent, mind you. And I'm like, please don't give me a he was no angel about goblins.
No, it won't. It'll give you a they are no angels. It'll give you a bunch of bio-truths that are fun to read, including some of the hot spots of racial essentialism bio-truths. For example, they're fecund as rabbits.
Oh, yeah. They love to bone down and have too many kids that they can't take care of, and then they'll steal from the state.
Some of them have a whopping pair of tusks jutting from their prognathic lower jaw.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. So goblins are a problem. And then a lot of them are just generic stolen from either DC or Marvel or movies that they liked. So, for example, right under Goblin, is the next species in line is the Golgothan, which it's cute they gave it a name because it really should just be the Predators. Like,
yep.
They're just Predator.
Like, you look at the picture and go, oh, hey, this dude looks like the Predator. And then you read it and you're like, oh, it's the Predator.
Like, yeah, these guys are the Predator.
It's described to look like the Predator, and they like to live in jungles, and they like to murder people for sport and take their skulls. They have infravision, and these guys are the Predator. Okay, great.
Don't worry about the rest of the details. They're the Predator. The Calamari are just mind flayers.
Yep. We have some Illithid there.
They did a Little Green Men thing, but they're Little Green Men, although they look exactly like the Almond Eye, Big Head, Little Green Men of American mythology. They're plant people.
Yeah, they're Little Green Men because they're chlorophyll. They're plant folks.
Yeah. And one of my favorites of the big muscle angels is the Nazar Ethans.
Yeah.
Who are basically angels. They're a race of golden-skinned immortals to populate a playground created by the Eternal Gabriel.
Yes.
And they're like, oh gosh, they're immune to so many different types of damage, and they're golden glowing gods who live on a magic island of beauty and perfect paradise. And they're violent slavers.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, and like, the Satan of this setting absolutely hates these and wishes they could get rid of them. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they're violent slavers. But also, you just said that they have a magic barrier around their island so no one gets in or out. So how does that work?
Well, don't worry about it. They're violent slavers, and they look like someone traced over a drawing of one of the X-Men 2099. The other thing you'll learn as you're making your way through the species is that this book, whoever was the artist they hired, had an obsession with micro-bikinis.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and also say, man, every single woman in this is wearing the least amount of cloth possible to not be naked.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. The way they dress the women in this is every one of them has straps instead of a bra.
Yeah, they've got like, what is this? Oh, I'm wearing a napkin over my tits. Or I've got like the leather straps and that's it. It's...
There are two or three more species of good guy naked muscle angels we haven't even talked about yet. The Solar is basically just an angel. But the Celestion is definitely my favorite of the bunch. The art is basically what if all the X-Men were one guy or one girl. Because it's Phoenix with Wolverine claws and for some reason a Phoenix made out of Zangief's chest hair stuck between her boobs. It's a mess. But they're like, oh gosh, we're the honorable warrior culture, good guy, native hero from space who's here to oppose the evil and fight them with our warrior tendencies, and we love to use Wolverine claws species.
Yay.
Oh, and all of us have a chest hair bird.
Yeah, I mean, the next species after that is just the Solar, and you're like, oh, look, it's Angel. Good.
It's just an angel. And even then, you're still not done with basically muscle angels. There's at least one or two more as you're making your way down the list. The Talil are basically underwater angels, and the Vaish are like angels from the void.
They are astral angels, so they're like, oh, we're all weird, and we come from the flowing astral plane.
Like, and then there are right. four, there's a collection of maybe five or six species that are just human plus some animal. So you got a spider one called the Arachnoids. You've got Tauren, which are basically minotaurs, with a whole racial sexual dimorphism thing that's gross.
Yeah, the whole thing with the Tauren is they can't breed with each other. They have to breed with humans. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And notably, it says humans and not any one of the other 27 intelligent humanoid species on this planet.
Oh, yes. And of course, they have to stay true to their animal instincts, so male Tauren will often have a harem of women because they're using their bull instinct, whereas female Taurens will be completely monogamous and just stay with their chosen mate forever.
Right. So you've got them, you've got a dog one called the Gru, a cat one called the Tigor, a dragon one called the Drakon. It's just boring and goes on like this. There is something kind of interesting in the character creation process that they have these two line items called Gen Min and Gen Max.
Yeah. And now Gen Min is pretty much for your profession. And that's the, you know, if I want to be a like gladiator, then it'll give some minimum stats you have to have at character generation. So you'd have to have a strength of 14, 12 dex, 14 con, 12 willpower, 12 presence, 10 power, at least, in those stats.
Right, and we haven't talked about stats yet. There are, what, I think 8 of stats? Strength, speed, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, presence, perception, and power. Gen max, on the other hand, comes from your species, and it just tells you the highest starting value that species can have. So yes. When you're building your character, which is done with point buy off an array, you basically have to stay inside of those two sets of numbers to get your character correct.
Yeah, now that means that there are certain professions that might call for a fairly high gen min on something that certain races won't be able to get because their gen max will be below that.
Yeah, that said, it isn't common. Most of the gen min requirements for classes are... I mean, the highest I've seen, even on a simple scroll, is a 14.
Yeah, usually 14 is about the highest they're going to ask.
Right, and then a lot of the species can top out at 15, 16. Of course, the nakeder and muscle angelier they get, the closer they get to topping out at 17, 18.
Yeah, the balance between races and classes and everything in this is pretty much non-existent.
Yeah, there just isn't any.
Because every species, in addition to what your maximum for any given thing is, you also get your combat movement rate, which usually is about 5 for most things, maybe like 6 if you're faster.
Yeah, like the Tigor, for example, are cat hunter people, and they have a 6, and so I believe to the Golgothans, the ones that are just predator.
But if you're, you know, a plant person, you're so sedentary that you have a 4.
Yeah, exactly.
But then also, you get, if you have any natural armor, it'll tell you that. But then everyone has a gen package, and it will be what skills and powers you start with. Right. Now, some of them will be like, oh, you get, you know, maybe a couple of things. Like, you get, like, dark vision and, you know, you've got a few skills, like, you've got horticulture or something, or maybe you have some body weaponry.
There are so many skills in this game with dumb names.
God, but then you look at something like, just the Arachnoid has no gen max below 15, so everything it has is 15 or above for its maximum.
Right.
It has a 7 CMR, 4 natural AP, and then Gloomsight, Infravision, Ultravision, Body Weapons, Poison. It has Basal Regeneration. It has 3 different languages. It can web crawl. It can climb. It has web generation. It has the skill of Art for Weaving. It has Stealth. It has Ambush. And it has Luck.
Yeah. And there are a few races that work that way. Another one that we didn't even mention yet, and this is another one that, much like the Golgothan, is just straight up stolen, is the Gargoyle.
Yeah. Gargoyles. Gargoyles.
It's just Goliath. It's not even gargoyles in general. It's specifically Disney's gargoyles.
Yes.
They spend their time during the day perched on stone towers in a stone form. At night, they come to life and they have super wings and they're very strong and punchy. Their minimum stat is a 15 there, and they get a million cool powers. And they're not from here. They're from the planet Gargo.
Indeed.
They have a CMR of 8, a natural AP of 10, which is their armor package. That means they're basically wearing chainmail all the time. Body weaponry, regeneration, flight times 4, CMR, Gloomsight, Stealth. They're so powerful.
Yeah. And then you look at something like the Goblin, and you're like, oh, you've got dick. You just don't have anything.
Yeah, they have that power right there. It says dick.
They have most of the same powers that the Garou have, in that they can track by scent and they have good hearing, except the Garou have better versions of that and then more stuff.
Right. The way that they kind of try to balance this with some of the, like, ultra species that there's only going to be, like, 10 of on the whole planet or whatever, is to be like, consult your DM before playing as this. And fucking, that gets even...
This game has that everywhere. It is rife with, hey, here's a thing. Maybe you don't use it. Maybe you do. Ask your DM. Here's 4 different possibilities for things you could do, or don't do them. What do we know? We're just writing the game.
Here's an effect that the spell might have. No rules for it, though. You figure it out.
Ugh. The amount of times where it would be like, oh, here's, like, a special power. Now you'll have to ask your GM if you can use it. And, of course, here's a very vague wording of what it does. Does that seem weird? It is. Anyway, here's 4 interpretations, or don't use them, or come up with something, or don't allow it, or do, or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of you figure it out type language in this book. There's a million classes, and then when the classes are over, there are, I think, like 6 more classes that are called freaks.
Well, yeah, it's weird because the professions are all actual, you know, classes that you would have. You know, you can be a ranger, a rogue, and a wizard, and so on, in addition to
a harlequin.
You know, weirder ones you could be.
A harlequin's great for if you want to be a dick clown.
Well, yeah, it's a harlequin's great if you played League of Legends and really enjoyed their assassin clown, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's just a dude with a big package sticking out at you, and he's dressed like a evil clown, and his deal is ridiculous because it's really. You can skip all 5 of the paragraphs of description because they don't fucking matter. All that really matters is he has pro combat and semi-pro magic enchantments. So he does illusions, and then it's like, oh, these guys create a crazy world to kill you in.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Fabulous. There's,
yeah. But as John was saying, there are 6, like, freak classes, which aren't... They're more like, there's something wrong with you physiologically, so you're a shapeshifter or a vampire or something like that.
I mean, mostly they're like, oh, this is... Sort of just a, like, the old templates from D&D where you're like, okay, yeah, you can be a harlequin or you could be a vampire harlequin, but also maybe don't allow these because they're way more powerful and give you a whole bunch of superpowers. but maybe do allow them. But if you do allow them, maybe don't let them have a profession. Or maybe do let them have a profession. Eh.
Also, two of them are just more paths to being naked muscle angels.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because if you're a talisman or a void spawn, you're just a different kind of naked muscle angel.
I mean, the talisman, it's just the picture that's a naked muscle angel guy. Technically, all you are is, I can take magic and shoot it back at people.
Right, right.
But the void spawn is a naked dude.
The void spawn is like, it's one of the strongest don't let players play this in the game, because it's like, what are you? Well, it's singular. The void spawn is the avatar of the void, and in history's past, the void spawn has been responsible for killing whatever the current overlord of ultimate evil is in different ages of the game. There's only just one of them at any time, and they only show up when things are really important. And so the book's like, hey, if one of your players is this, it's going to be a story about them and their wacky, harmless friends. So if that's something you wanted to do, here's 3 pages of detail on it.
Yeah, if you wanted to be like, I'm telling the story of the void spawn crafted by the dragon to keep the balance between light and dark. They're basically just gods that go out and make sure that nothing gets too fucked up in either direction. Anyway, they can also run around with your friend the rogue.
Yeah. And we might as well mention the other two freaks that even exist. The Luxter, who can mess with roles on a very primal level. So rather than learning combat skills, he'll just be like, oh, I just raw increase my combat roll values. And the Null, which is like, as I go up in levels, I become immune to that level of magic. I am very boring.
Yeah. It's just the Nega Psychic from Rifts.
So you get 90 points to build your character with. You have to buy, the only thing you're really buying with those points are stats and special powers, like basically feats of this game.
Yeah, the weird thing with this is skills only come from your species and profession choice. You cannot buy more skills at the start of the game.
No, skills are expressed in value, like how what it costs to learn them, is expressed entirely in time to learn and money it costs to learn them.
Yeah. So if you want to learn something, it gives you, like, oh, this will take 36 weeks minus your intelligence stat, and as long as you have the money to pay a guy to teach you it, and that much time to learn it, then you get it. It's no, like, XP, there's no cost to doing this outside of just you need enough downtime to get it.
That said, if you need more points to buy your stats to where you want them to be and to buy the powers you would like your character to start with beyond the ones that they already start with, you can get extra points by taking either karma or codes, where karma is just your character has like some shit that's wrong with them mentally, and code is your character has a code of conduct that can kind of be enforced against them in some situations. Yeah.
Now, technically, the 90 points that you have is including the karma and codes. It assumes that you will have a 10 in all of the different karmic categories and a 10 in either the 2 good codes or the 2 bad codes. Because this game has...
It really wants you to play crazy people, or well, no, people that it's calling crazy.
Because the game only calls for weird quirks and rolls and enforcement of certain things at an 11 or above. And you get character generation points at a 1-for-1 for whatever your score is. So there's the reason it says you start with 90 is because they basically know there is literally no reason not to have a 10 in all of these because there is zero drawback and you get 10 points per.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so if you're just getting points for buying above the 10 by making your behavior situations worse than normal.
Which is such a bad idea, because you look at it and you're like, all right, I've probably got somewhere between, depending on if we're playing like a high power game or something, like 90 to 100 points. And, you know, I could decide I want my character to 50% of the time just be a huge asshole that gets a bunch of negatives to skills, and that gives me 1 point.
Yeah. And each one of these is written up in the smuggest. Oh man, this is where the book really starts to get under your skin when you're reading these things.
The descriptions for a lot of them are a bit much.
Yeah, absent-minded. Oh well, we had a definition for this, but we seem to have misplaced it. Combine this with the kleptomania and liar attributes, and have a world of fun at your own expense.
I hate you, book. I hate you.
It goes on like that for pages, and you're supposed to have five different potential categories of stuff that's wrong with you. Actually, I think it's more like seven, isn't it? Because it goes attitude, yes. Confidence, discipline, fear, greeds, harmony, and sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's codes. Codes are just like if you want to have a character code of conduct. Some of them are forced onto you by class choices that you might have made.
Yeah, but there's two good ones and two bad ones. And the good ones are basically, you should go stamp out evil wherever you find it and essentially just be an adventurer that's good. And then the other one is, also, you're on the side of good. I don't know why these are two different codes. Anyway.
It's the same thing with the evil ones. The basic one is the anti-life, where, again, thank you for being such huge fans of DC, guys. No one can tell. if you're a Daemonian or a Mokar or whatever, and you just hate all the things that are alive.
You just want to murder.
And then the other one is the Dark Earth, where you serve the will of C'thon, which I swear is the only time I've ever seen that word in this book.
Oh no, it pops up all over the place, because C'thon is the evil reflection of the dragon.
So the dragon and the... Oh man, that's the cosmology shit. I'm not ready to talk about the cosmology.
I'm not strong enough.
I can't do it yet. There's a bunch of skills, John. There's a bunch of dumb skills. Seduction is a power you can buy. It does indeed mention the opposite sex. I mean, I wasn't expecting it not to. This game didn't have my hopes up.
Well, no. This is a game that, honestly, the fact that it isn't worse is sort of amazing to me.
Well, this book kind of falls in that range. You've seen that Patton Oswalt routine where he's just saying I want to fuck someone and I want to fill them with cum or whatever is less creepy than saying things like I want to fill your hoo-ha with goof juice. This book is the second one. There's a lot of times where it'll be like, yeah, you're excellently at extracting hanky-panky from members of the fairer sex kind of shit like that, where you're like, ugh, just say the fucking words.
Yeah.
This book's all about slavery and shit. You can say fuck. Just say it. It makes it so much less creepier if you're like, these guys like to fuck. These guys like to squeeze beeblies.
I mean, who doesn't like to squeeze beeblies?
Yeah, you hook me up with some beeblies and I'm going to squeeze them. I'm not going to lie to you right now.
I'm like, what is this, beeblies? Let me get in on some squeezing.
Oh, man, are these fresh beeblies? Fresh beeblies are the best for squeezing. I'm not above
go down to the farmer's market and get some fresh beeblies.
The fuck are we? Okay, so, but yeah, that's just kind of the function of this game is it's very PG but leaning. Like again, just like everything else in this book, it kind of reads like an Image comic from 1995.
Yeah,
there are four or five, depending on how you read the section, giant overcomplicated martial arts that you get to pick from if you're a martial artist.
Oh, by the way, I do want to just quickly mention about skills.
Oh, please do. Please do, because there's lots of skills to talk about.
Yeah, there's a ton of skills in this game, but the way that it works is if you have a skill, you just unlock the ability to use it, and every skill has a governing attribute.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're trying to do something, they call every single role in this a save.
Yeah, they're all saves.
Which... God, that's annoying. But still, like, if I've got, say, I don't know, acting as a skill, great. It's controlled by my presence stat.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to roll equal to or above my presence in order to act, essentially.
Right. It's above, not below? I thought it was roll under.
No, it is roll above because it obviously has nat 20 rules and nat 1 rules for fumbling and critting and whatnot.
That's a good point. You're right, because what it actually is it, you're not rolling under your stat or over your stat. You're taking a bonus that your stat generated, adding that to a roll of a d20, and then comparing it against a universal difficulty chart.
No, you aren't.
Well, then how the heck is it? Okay, go ahead and explain everything.
It's literally take your stat, take the number 21, take your stat, subtract it from 21, and then roll equal to or above that.
Oh, okay, so it literally is roll under with extra fucking steps.
Yes.
That's awful.
Except this game has stats above 20, which we will get into.
Yeah, well, maybe we will. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I'll go ahead and let everyone know right now. This game has a 1 to 20 level progression, and in order to get to level 20, you need like 10 million XP. And
well, don't get excited about that. Who knows how much XP a monster's worth? There aren't any.
I mean, it definitely gives you a how much XP should you get, and boy, is that like maybe a couple hundred at best. But it's like, yeah, if you've spent fucking forever playing this game and you get to level 20, congratulations, you unlocked the next half of this game, playing as an immortal, and now you can get your stats above 20, and instead of rolling a d20 for your things, now you start using percentile dice, because there's, instead of a 5% chance of failure, now you have to get into like a 1% chance and a 0.5% chance.
Yeah. Yeah. The back 30 pages or so of this book. And by the way, this was originally planned to be a two-parter because this is like a 500-page book. But there's just not enough in here for us to really pull two whole episodes out of it. But the back 30 pages or so are all just like, here's how you play as fucking gods.
Yeah, there's three options. You can be a mortal realm god, where you're basically just like a super cool badass that wanders around, and you're pretty much Elminster. You're like, oh, what are you? I'm a super powerful demigod, and I wander around like the actual place where people are. Okay, yeah. Great. You can be a deific immortal, where you just sort of become a god of a pantheon. Or you can become an eternal, which is essentially the option for your buddy who plays the party rogue that everyone hates and keeps saying he wants to get drunk and steals from the party. Then he plays an eternal, because they have an entire system for how you get power there is based on, like, did you embarrass another immortal? Get 2 points. Did you get real drunk? Get a point.
Oh, speaking of real drunk, one of my favorite skills in this game is just called Party On.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Party On with an exclamation point. It's just further proof that this game did come out in 1996. Party On is... There's a skill called Party On. Those fortunate few who have this skill can party on till dawn, and they can impress any sentient entities with their ability to consume mass quantities.
Why?
I don't know.
Why did you double down on the SNL?
I know. I'm kind of amazed that there's not like an It's Pat reference right after that or some shit. I mean, we're talking mid-90s SNL movies. Do we not have something from The Ladies Man that we wanted to work in there?
No, because that was like the 2000s. Yeah, the other thing is there's a lot of certain abilities for certain things will just mimic what a skill is. Like, yep, martial artists can get Zen Quick Draw, but there's the skill Quick Draw, and it's the same thing. Just, yeah, it has Zen in front because you're a martial artist.
Doesn't it cost key points, too, as opposed to not costing anything?
No. It is literally exactly the same.
This book has 4 magical martial arts, basically boiling down to good guy, bad guy, special one for humans, and special one for angel people.
Yeah. I mean, even the fucking one for the good guys is still just, hey, one of those races of muscle angels, it's almost exclusively taught to them, and you have to, like, get special dispensation from one of their guys to learn it if you're not one of them. And
yeah,
the fourth one is just, this is for gargoyles. That's it.
Oh, right. That's who it was. It was just gargoyles. In my head, I thought it was just for Solars, but you're right. It's just for gargoyles.
Yeah, it's just the gargoyle martial art. So if you are not evil, the Shi'ar, or a gargoyle, you pretty much have to do the Way of the Wolf. Because
which is human only, though. It's not technically human only, but it's like only taught to humans by reputable practitioners.
Yes. So it was because it was taught by the founder to humans, and it was like, yeah, this is so humans have something.
Yeah. Now, granted, in the story of the game world, humans already have something, which is faux Catholicism, because Lord knows you couldn't just keep. They couldn't stop it pulling from Disney's Gargoyles, the X-Men, the DC Universe, and the movie Predator. We also had to have some 40K shit in here.
Yeah, there is an entire nation that are the followers of Rel. So the Relians are crusading hypocritical dicks. And
oh my god, I just remembered that.
The description of essentially the Paladin of Rel is
just called Paladin.
They're just like, yeah, these guys maybe back in the day were actually honorable, but now they just go around and they're huge assholes and they're hypocritical and they're holier than thou and they're just jerks and I'm an atheist. Debate me.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing is just like, these guys are proselytizing about a god. Gods are fake. These guys are liars. It's like, bitch, your whole book's about gods.
Yeah, it's not even that gods are fake, it's just these guys are assholes.
Yeah, yeah. And there are two classes that are basically just Catholic assholes. There's Paladin and Inquisitor, and both of them are just this shit.
Yeah.
And like we were talking earlier when we were mentioning how the Enchanter is just full-on nothing but digression as a character story, that's what these are, too. It's just five paragraphs in a row of, what a total hypocrite.
Yeah. God, everything about the Relians was just because this guy hated Catholics a lot.
It was hilarious.
Like they have a whole bunch of stuff in here where they're like, oh yeah, every single description in the various species is pretty much, and then the humans are assholes to them for no reason. Humans suck, am I right, guys?
And ordinarily, as a person who won't play humans if there's any other option in a game, I would fully agree. But in this case, it's just hilariously over the top.
Oh, yeah. They're like, the Drakkon just sort of look like Sauron from
the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. But everyone thinks of them as dragons, and the Paladin is actually the Dragon Slayer. And
oh, is that what it's called? Okay.
Hate dragons, and they'll murder anyone, even though they know they're not really dragons. Okay, sure.
There are like 13 different schools of magic. Each one boils down to a bunch of some overpowered and some functionally worthless spells.
Yeah, there are 10 orders for every different magical discipline, and that's pretty much just the scaling up in both power and cost.
Yeah, because game has wild logarithmic scaling, where a 10th order spell costs like thousands of points to cost, where a first level spell costs one.
Yeah, and to make it so that when you get up in level and you're doing things like, oh, I'm casting a, you know, even I've got a 40 power and I'm casting a order 4 spell, and it costs me, you know, like 100 or 200 or whatever the hell the cost is for that. I can't even remember.
Who cares?
To make it so that you will still cast low level spells, 25 for 4th level, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that you still cast some of the low level ones is order 1 spells can be boosted. So you can dump more power points into order 1 spells so that they can, like, do more damage or bigger effect or things like that.
Yeah.
But you can't for any of the other ones, which really makes it so that, like, order 2 spells are the ones that suck ass.
Yeah, they do. Order 1 spells tend to be really good, unless they are completely goofy. A lot of them are. The goofiness is intentional because, you know, first order spells are supposed to be just fun. I think my favorite categories for spells are enchanting, because this is just going off naming convention. Enchanting, for whatever reason, a lot of the spells have their names stolen from Lankmar stuff, so you'll have, like Fawford's Cloud and Grey Mouser's Influence and the Eternal Field of Somnus. Mm-hmm. And spell singing, because all the spells from spell singing are just the names of old rock songs. So you have
even the picture of the spell singer is mm-hmm. someone with an electric guitar, and I'm like, my dude, this is a fantasy setting. What are you doing?
Yeah, he even gets to the point where he's like, oh, there's lots of all kinds of stuff from sci-fi settings scattered all over the planet of Senzar. We call it techno toys.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But if you wanted to cast a third order spell called, you know, Bleed Your Heart Out or Dr. Feel Good, good news, this game's got you covered. How about if you wanted to cast Black Flag or The Unforgiven, also covered? You can kind of tell what kind of music they're fans of.
Yeah.
When you look at spells like 99 Ways to Die.
Or Painkiller and so on.
Yeah. Pretty great. At this point, there's the cosmology of the setting. We really have to mention how batshit it is, because it's not since Cinnabar have we seen one where the world creation is this just kind of off the realm, like, nuts.
Yeah, the whole thing is there are two different realities. There's mm-hmm. our reality, where magic isn't real, and Senzar's reality, where it is. And
in our world, we may be Earth-centric and think that we're at the center of the universe, but we're not. But in the Senzar universe, the planet Senzar is.
Great. And in the beginning, Senzar just had the she in it, so all mm-hmm. the fairies.
Mm-hmm. And the one picture of which is very, very unpleasant.
Oh, egregiously sexy.
Uh-huh.
Where they're just like, hey, this fairy is only wearing like three bits of cloth and you can see everything.
Yeah, she is doing a try on haul for her like OnlyFans account right now.
But yeah, at first it was just the fairies, and then one fairy called like Nomu decided to create the nine foci of power and like chain himself to the dragon so that he would be all powerful.
Yeah, you see, Namo, as opposed to every other she, was born with the sin of ego and awareness of himself.
Yes, so, he had eaten from the tree of knowledge.
So he chains himself to the dragon, which is really just a term that means everything.
Well, it's just God.
Yeah.
It's just the dragon is God.
Yeah, and he makes his nine crystal foci that connect him to the dragon, and then the dragon starts a plan to defeat Nemu by creating two heirs of Nemu, whose names are like Lord Thavelthrust and the Sigil Captain.
Yeah, it's not great.
It just gets weirder, and every time they introduce stuff, they're just like, and obviously at this point, that pissed off the Void Spawn. You're like, the who? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so, like, because he was essentially all-powerful, Namu just went around and created all these new species and was like, here, I made a bunch of, like, weird little gods and weird little species so that I could make them inhabit different planets, and I'm just going around being sort of a capricious creator. Mm-hmm. And then his two kids murder him and divvy up the foci. So
yeah,
one of them has
one.
4.5, the other has 4.5.
And then they enter into an eternal conflict, but they're not really mad at each other. They're like in conflict because there's only the two of them, and what else are they going to do but be in conflict? And their names are Sigil Talisman and Lord Valthrusta. I was trying to remember what that was.
Yeah, Valthrusta ends up being basically the main bad guy of the setting, because mm-hmm. he leads the Dark Horde at the Fourth Age, and that's why you have a whole bunch of different races on Senzar, is because they thought Senzar was a backwater planet with nothing there, so they used it for mass concentration camps, and they put all the different, like, species members that weren't compliant there, and then they overthrew them because they decided to put all of the rebellious people in one place.
It's funny because this whole section describes all these crazy, wacky things happening for just tens of millions of years, and it all sounds cool and awesome. But then when it gets to, like, okay, we're in the Eighth Age now, everyone's kind of enlightened, no one's as powerful as they used to be, all the weird terraforming experiments and so on that plagued this planet in the past are more or less gone. Don't worry, things are normal here. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, you were threatening me with a good time before.
Yeah.
It was like, they were like, oh, the world is full of pockets of weird terraforming disasters, so you'll be walking through a desert and encounter an ice cavern. And I'm like, that sounds fucking rad. I'm into that. Don't worry, they're mega rare now because we've moved to a more enlightened age. It's like, no, don't.
Yeah, no, they're, like, each age was like, oh, in the Sixth Age, people were trying to go around and use magic against each other, and there was a weird war. But then the Seventh Age was the Age of Reason, and everyone calmed the fuck down, and now it's the Eighth Age, and everything's just kind of boring. And it's a standard bullshit fantasy setting where you can, you know, walk into a town and say, "Prithee, willst thou givest me a flagon of beer?"
Ah, I will check you for naked muscularity first, as is custom among my angel people.
Worry thee not, for truly my codpiece swelleth.
Thine flexes be true. Thou might enter and tasteth of my daughter's mead. And that's the game.
And that's the game. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything that's relevant in here. I mean, we could go into more of the cosmology stuff, like the zodiac houses or what the spheres are.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the spheres are just, if you're a deity, if you go down the deific immortal path, everyone has a very specific way in which they can be killed permanently. And in order to kill a deific immortal, you have to go into their sphere, which is basically their seat of power, and kill them there. Because if you just kill them outside of that, you just killed their avatar, not them.
Right. My favorite thing about the Zodiac in this game is it's clearly one of those Zodiacs written from people who don't know what the actual Zodiac is for, which is, you know, to sell shit to gullible people. So yeah, there's 12 signs in the Earth Zodiac, so to speak. But all of them are just like, you're very creative and forthcoming and everyone likes you. You are deserving of friends and riches, like just rewritten in different ways, right? Yeah. But in this one, like a third of them are like, you fucking suck and are probably a mean murderer rapist. And I'm just like, man, imagine if that was that way on Earth. If it was like, man, if you're born between December 3rd, December 24th, fuck you.
Yeah, man. Hey, what are you, a Taurus? God, those are notoriously the worst.
And that's even what's in the newspaper. It's just like, let's look at the horoscopes for the week.
Your
Taurus.
Horoscope for today. Taurus, you're probably going to go out and punch someone in the gut, aren't you, you dick?
I hope you lose your job, dumbass. The stars don't say if you will or won't, but I'm saying you should.
But me, personally, the one writing this, you should.
God damn it. Now I'm trying to remember. I read a few weeks ago an article about how there are problems on dating sites where there are certain signs that no one will date.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it is now. It's like that. Fire signs or something. And they're like, you have to lie if you're a fire sign because no one will date you.
Yeah, if you're a Scorpio, no one wants to date you.
I'm so glad we live in the age of rampant tribalism.
Yeah. Oh, God. What? I was just looking at the Eternal Immortals, like, action point victory things. Mm-hmm. You get a point if you tell a bad pun, but only if another Eternal hears it.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's horrible.
God, the
that's
Eternal is just the worst option.
Oh, you know, we never even talked about it at all. Go ahead, though.
You lose 1 point if you tattle on another Eternal, but plus one if it's really funny.
The fuck is... I mean, I would rather play that game.
Yeah, no. The becoming an Eternal is like, oh, the other versions of the Immortal are all like, yes, you are a god that walks among men and you play truly the dragon's game, and you have weird and malicious ways of playing with your power. And then the Eternals are just like, haha, I went over and I pantsed another god and I got 2 points.
Leave me be, for I am harvesting my thousandfold garden.
Yeah, whereas
but
the Eternals
your
like,
dicks out.
If I mess up someone's quest, I get a point, and it's worth times two if it's Aurelion's.
All right, I really want to, before we get done, and I know we're already at an hour, but I got to do this just because people get mad at us if we don't. Here's how combat works.
Fine.
every character has a score called a CV, their combat value. It's equivalent to 10 plus a bonus that's derived from your character's dexterity stat. There are then two substats derived from that called AV and DV, which stand for attack value and defense value. These two are also just equivalent to your CV, which raises faster if you have a professional combat career and half as fast if you have a semi-professional combat career. But those two stats, the AV and the DV, can modify based on gear you're wearing. So if you have a weapon, it'll increase your AV. If you have armor, it'll increase your DV. To calculate whether or not you hit somebody, you roll a d20 and you add your AV and you subtract their DV. And then you look at a scale where 1 through 9 is miss, 10 through or 19 is hit, and 20 is critical hit, which inflicts double whatever damage you roll and has a chance to devastate them. When they are devastated, they're minus 10 to everything. So this is a very progressive crit-powered game.
Yeah, the interesting thing for me is the crit and the fumble are, again, a thing where it's like, maybe you use this, maybe you don't. But for...
There's a ton of powers that do them directly.
There is an interesting thing for me, which is that if you don't use the, like... Nat 20, Nat 1, critical hits still exist because it's just you had 20 or more on your final result of the attack.
Yeah, yeah, critical hit, and I forget what they have the other term for when just called natural 20, is they're two different things.
Yeah, because a critical hit is you do 2 times your damage to whoever you hit, and if they don't make a con save, then they have minus 10 to all of their CV skills and whatnot until they're healed. Now, if you just roll a natural 20, instead of it becoming a crit, it just says you do max damage for what you would do instead of rolling.
Right.
Which is a very interesting thing for me, where it no longer means getting a natural 20 is like, oh, and I'd automatically murder a guy. It just means you get a good damage score. And I kind of like that version of splitting up crits and nat 20s.
Yeah, I think it's smart. It was all right. Now, granted, that's probably the best thing about combat. The worst thing being that this game has action phases, and on action phase one, it's got action advantage, is what I'm trying to get around to. It's very easy to build a character whose combat mechanic is, I have 5 actions every turn, and you have 1.
I mean, it isn't, but...
But it is possible. By stacking dexterity as high as you can get away with it, you can act on more phases than other people. And the other problem, this game is very nebulous when it comes to what you could do with your phase when it's your turn. Because the sentence it starts with is like, you can use your phase action to run or defend or attack. And I'm like, but can you run and attack? Who knows?
So I do have to counter you there. Dexterity doesn't give you more phases.
What is it that does that then?
Phases is just... At certain levels, you get an extra phase, and you get more if you're pro combat than semi-pro.
Okay,
by the time you reach 20th level, you'll have 5 phases as a pro, and 3 as semi-pro.
Right, okay.
The only way to get more than that is to then become an immortal and buy more phases.
Ah, fair enough. So there are good and bad things to the combat any way you slice it, however. The devastation system is weird. There's a whole mechanic called pulsing that basically is like, if you pulse someone, then they are currently immune to magic, and that means that all of their good buffs fall off and they can't be healed.
Yeah, there's a lot of very specific things you can do in this, where fucking there is a section on called hits that has 2 different options for how called hits work.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, maybe a called shot, if you do it, it's only effective if a crit is rolled, and then they have to make a con save, but if they don't, then they lose whatever you were called shotting. And sure, great. Or you could say called shots are only allowed for disarming and things like that, except disarm is its own fucking skill.
So there's one last thing I want to say just before we get into the best and worst, which is one of a small thing I found hilarious in this game. There's a section for building your own magic items, which is surprisingly big. It's called artificing, although, let's face it, a lot of games have constructing your own magic item sections, so it's not like it's a huge new thing.
No.
If you are crafting magic items and you are very high level and powerful, you will craft better magic items than someone who is just high enough level to do it, right?
Yes.
That makes sense. It kind of matches with the structure of however game that has this kind of system and it works.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the section that says that, where it's like, hey, if you have a lot of extra magic points to burn, you're going to make better magic items, there's a paragraph, and the paragraph starts with a bold sentence, "That's not fair." And then the not bold sentence, "Yes, it is." And then they move on.
Yeah, this has a lot of, like, I'm going to set up, like, talking about whatever, and then I'll end this paragraph with saying, like, this is the way it is, and then I'll start the next paragraph with, wait a minute, I thought whatever. Well, tough titty, friend. And you're like, what? Why are you doing this?
Why are you presenting us with weird little arguments? Which one of these people is supposed to be us?
Yourself in your own book.
Quit creating weird little straw men. We don't care. Just put the rules down.
No, I am incapable of putting down concrete rules. Everything must be a waffling, well, I guess you might do this, but maybe you don't. What are you, writing for D&D 5th edition? Get out of here.
John, I would like to refer you to chapter 14, Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, okay.
First paragraph, no you can't.
Oh, second paragraph, yes I can.
John, what's your favorite thing about this game?
Ooh, you know, I would say my favorite thing about this game is, I mean, I kind of want to say that it's the separating nat 20 from crits. I do really like that. Like, honestly, when I was reading it, that was the one thing reading through this book where I went, oh, hey, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's very good. Oh, we didn't mention how fate points work, by the
way. Yeah, fuck them. Just fuck them in general. Actually, yeah, fine. Go ahead. Tell me what fate points are. Get into it.
You have fate points that you'll get. They're not XP, but it is what you use to generate your character, and then you can get some later on, and you can spend them up to your luck rating per session to basically just do whatever you want. Like, you can get a natural 20 on a roll. You can maximize your damage. You can just sort of spend a fate point to make everything go your way.
Okay, that's cool. They can do it. I think they can do a couple of other things as well, but yeah, they're basically just brownie point mechanic.
Yeah, it's just, you can see after you roll, like, oh, did you fuck this up? Okay, you can spend a fate point and not fuck up. Great.
Right. You can also, I believe, spend them one for one to shove off damage so that you don't die.
Yeah, you can buy off damage with it. You can also use that as upping your stats.
Right. Yep.
That's the only way you up your stats is by using fate points.
Okay. I'm going to say, speaking
generally
of stats,
going to go into your power.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever.
Also, your power automatically raises by, I think it's +4 per level. Yeah. Because one of the processes by which you become immortal is you have to get your power stat to at least 100.
Yes. And if you don't and you become immortal, oh, well, you're going to turn into a quivering pile of jelly because your soul wasn't ready.
Oh, man, quivering piles are my second least favorite kind of Star Wars race. My favorite is Sex Haver. That was a reference to Expounded Universe.
Hey.
John, brand synergy. I'm going to say my favorite thing about this game is the Gen Max and Gen Min thing that gives you kind of an interesting bracket in which to create your character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, I know we're in a time period in RPG development where the discourse is largely about racial essentialism and whether stats are serving a purpose for us or whether they're just kind of reinforcing negative stereotypes.
Yeah.
But this isn't the game where that battleground was meant to be fought. This is an old this is an old 90s game and it's got stats, duh. That said, I do appreciate that the Gen Min coming from your class and the Gen Max coming from your race kind of gives you a guideline to build your character towards what you would actually need, and I thought that was fairly smart.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting way to take things so that you can make sure that whatever you picked, you're like, okay, I will make sure that you have at least decent stats in whatever this thing requires, but also we're going to make it so that you can't just go ham and get whatever to start with because you have some hard caps.
Yeah, yeah. Now, hard caps, of course, are the problem when we talk about modern RPG discourse, but again, this isn't an afterthought or whatever, so we're not going to get too deep into that at the moment. We'll save that for the third Things I Hate About D&D episode.
Yeah, D&D. That's what I hate about D&D.
The problem with D&D is all those D's in it. Actually, that's almost true.
Ah, the Scottish, they ruined Scotland.
All right, so what's your least favorite thing about this game? Not just in general.
I mean,
also, what's your least favorite thing in general?
Least favorite thing in general is probably all the racism. Not in this book, though.
Also in this book, because this book does that thing where it's been, we imported humans from the other dimension 40,000 years ago, but the Chinese people we imported still do all the martial arts.
Yes. And the Chinese guy's name is Kung Pao Mei, and he teaches martial arts, and he's got a Fu Manchu, and you're like, my dude, please.
Knock that shit off.
It's been 40,000 years. No one's anything.
Right.
But the thing that I hated the most in this book is the prolific amount of book space given over to being an evil guy. Like, there is
way too much.
Yeah, there's a ton of different species and profession things that you have to be evil to do. There's a ton of book space given over to talking about, like, here's all of the different, like, evil spells and the different powers that make you evil and all the creeds and what they mean. And, I mean, call me old-fashioned.
You're old-fashioned.
But I don't want to have a game where people are like, ha-ha, we're going to go around murdering. That's our fun time. This is a game about slavery. And I'm like, please just don't.
Yeah,
there's a reason that those are the bad guys. That's bad. Don't do it.
I am 100% right there with you. And in fact, I was going to say my least favorite thing about this game is going, and I know that this is an episode where I started by talking about how we've seen everything in this book before. And this is that example again, where it does the descriptions of mental issues that your character can have. And it's all like, have fun being a total depressive. You can't even get out of bed to get the newspaper. Oh no, Mr. Sad Sack. And he's like, dude, stop that. Just stop that. This isn't a good time for this.
Yeah, I mean, I get that you're doing the whole, like, jokey, nudge-nudge type of writing when you're doing this, but when you're talking about, like, oh, your sanity karma trait, well, you've got an 11 or above, that means you have to pick something that makes you crazy. You know, like being a manic depressive. And boy, howdy, do you have the worst of both worlds. What a chump. And I'm like, hey, fuck you.
Exactly. It's not... I know that it kind of a cop-out when I say my least favorite thing about a book is the tone, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. God damn. There's a time and a place to be buddy-buddy with someone when you're writing something, and it is not the entirety of the book.
And they have this weird idea that it's fun. Like I was saying, when we mentioned absent-minded, it's like combine absent-minded with kleptomania and liar and have a world of fun at your own expense. The same thing for alpha behavior. Become belligerent and overbearing just for the fun of it. Grow more hair on your chest.
Yeah, it's... There's some shit here.
there's some problems is where I'm coming from with this. So I'm going to say the tone, and I promise I won't say it for the next book, unless it's the tone's really bad. There you have it.
You know, it is.
It's just that actually is. I mean, that kind of shit just rubs me the wrong way every time.
Oh, I get it. Don't worry. I mean, it affects me way less than it does you. But even I reading this was like, come on, dude, tone it the fuck down.
Yeah, exactly. Would you play this game?
I would not. It's got a simple enough resolution mechanic generally for most things. Like, it's not a hard to play game, but there's nothing here that draws me in. The only interesting thing this game has going for it is the idea that you eventually become an immortal and be like playing your weird god games. But that's after you're level 20, and who cares? I've been playing too much at that point, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there with you. I mean, I do appreciate these types of games, like the big kitchen sink, let's just take everything we're interested in and kind of smack it all together and then just sell that to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't have games like this, then the imaginative spirit that combined caramel corn and cheese corn and put them in the same bag wouldn't exist, and I don't want to live in that world.
I don't want to live in a world with caramel and cheese corn in the same bag mixing together.
Have you had that? It's surprisingly good.
Getting cheese on my caramel on my cheese.
I know. And unlike chocolate and peanut butter, it sounds like it should be bad, and yet, it's really good.
I don't know.
That said, this is just not a blend that I'm especially interested in. It's too much. It's got too much badass or faux badass 90s stuff and not enough like fun new ideas.
Yeah. For as much as the tone is super like jokey in your face, the actual content of it is not taking itself like with a grain of salt. All of the stuff that it presents is like, these are super badass muscle angels and they'll fuck shit up. And you're like, please, everything else in this game, you're talking about like, teehee, maybe you're a kleptomaniac. But for all of the actual content, you're like, nope, this is soul shit skull fucker and he'll ruin your day.
Yeah, it's this weird combination between like grim dark muscle punch and weird hippie crystal stone stuff where it's just like, ah, the body has 7 power foci at which you may attach the stones of resonance. The immortal unlocks an additional 2 foci along the length of their corpus. And then meanwhile, you play as Greasy McMuscle Fist.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing.
Yeah, it's not tastes I enjoy together, or honestly at all. And so, no, I wouldn't play this game either.
Great.
Well, there you have it. That's the end of this episode of System Mastery. But folks, don't you fret. There's more content to come.
Oh, baby. If you want to hear how we struggle through the completely terribly edited and put together book to make a character in this, well, you're in luck.
Yeah, you ever have that experience where you're making a character in a game that's not your favorite game, and you've got your finger in the book at like 16 different places because they keep putting shit everywhere throughout the whole fucking book?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just like, especially, God, there's a thing in this game where they will have powers that are the exact same as another thing but with a different name, and then just tell you to go look at the other power, except it comes first in the book, and I'm like, why? You haven't even said what that power is yet.
That happens a lot. In the class descriptions, there are 3 classes that reference the ranger class and how different they are from the ranger. And like, this is like a ranger, but they do the following things differently. And all of them come before the ranger.
Oh, yeah. There's powers where it's like, stone skin. This is like dragon scales, but for evil people. Look up dragon scales. I'm like, dragon scales isn't for another 20 pages. Will you fucking just tell me?
So true. But what we will do is we went and already did it. We made characters in this game, and we are going to describe them to you and the process by which we made them. And that is at our cheapest possible level of Patreon support.
Yes, indeed. $1 at patreon.com/systemmastery. You unlock the bonus content for this, and you can come along on our little journey. But hey, don't stop there. There's more.
Yeah, we have weekly podcasts about Star Wars at the $2 level, and then 3 more monthly podcasts at the $5 level, hitting a point where we're doing something like 7 bonus podcasts in a regular month.
Yeah, it's a lot of content. And it can all be yours if the price is $5.
That's correct. Or $1 or $2 at your level of convenience.
Indeed.
And in response, we promise to never put ads on this show because we suck at them anyway. And also not to do those fucking little mini podcasts, those fucking preview episodes are like 3 minutes long and they fill your feed with bullshit. We'll never do that to you. We promise.
Promise. Never. Also, man, my MeUndies feel great today. The micromodal fabric.
John, that fabric stretches in 8 directions. That's four more directions than you'd expect. And mine feel great right now, too, because I'm not wearing them.
That's 3 more directions than my butthole.
Wait, your butthole only stretches in 1 direction? Are you saying your butthole only stretches for 1 direction? Like,
yes.
Like, you're specifically
correct.
Into the band. Right, okay.
Jeff, I shit 1 direction.
No entrance unless Zane. Or whoever else is in that band. I don't even think he is. He's just the only name I know.
Just, you know, Zane sounds like the kind of name that would be in one of those bands.
I think he left One Direction at some point, and that's why I know that name.
Sure, why not?
My full extent of knowledge about One Direction is that they did that You song as a Sesame Street joke once, and it's adorable.
Great.
Obviously, oh. It's just about the letter U now.
Harry Styles. Zayn Malik was in the group. Harry Styles is the other one I've heard of.
Okay, that's right. And he's the one who's like getting acting careers and shit now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great.
Yeah,
great.
But if poor Liam Payne, you don't get shit now.
This segment's called We're Old.
What is this? One Direction?
In my day, we had 4.
I could go any direction I wanted to, but I always had to go uphill.
As long as I was listening to the Starlight Vocal Band, it was always like downhill for me.
Ah, yeah.
There you go.
We only had One Direction in my day because the Kaiser stole the other ones.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the bonus content and next time as well, and you all have a good one. We'll be right back.